Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome in. This is Bink at Night here on 610 Sports Radio, 610sports.com, and the radio.com app. My name is Chris Unocero, and I am joined by my producer, Julio. I was about to say Julio. Julio Sanchez.
How long have we been working together? I'm offended.
3.5 years now?
Yeah, I'm offended.
Something like that. Hey, we can't all bat 1,000. We can't pitch a perfect game every time. But yeah, my producer is Julio Sanchez. We are two-thirds of Jillian Carroll and Unocero. Jillian Carroll is not with us today. I offered it to her. We had a little team meeting last week. I offered it to her. She declined. So it is just me and Julio.
She's
today.
Too good to spend.
She is way too good for
us.
Way too good for us. She's like, oh no, my Grammy states, not Grammy, the Emmy that she won states she only has to work with us 1 hour a week. So yeah, we don't get her to grace us with her presence tonight. But yeah, for the next hour, hottest takes on your radio here in Kansas City. Before Kansas State, their pregame takes over. They're going to be playing at 8 o'clock tonight here on 610 Sports Radio. We have a very jam-packed hour for you. When I wrote my rundown for this hour, I probably put way too many topics into this hour.
I've literally never seen you this prepared before.
I was very prepared for this hour. Because I came in this morning into my other job, and I was feeling ready. I was ready to go, and I was like, okay, I'm about to get a whole, fill out this whole show, and I had so many things I wanted to talk about, and I ended up putting way too much. I'm probably not going to get to all of this, but we will be talking Chiefs later on. We'll be talking KU as well, and we're going to get into some sport in Kansas City at the bottom of the hour. But I want to start with some Kansas City Royals talk. Obviously, we're the home of the Royals, 610 Sports Radio. You can hear the second spring training game for the Royals. I believe it's 2:30 on Sunday here on 610 Sports Radio. And the big story that has kind of been permeating throughout the Royals fandom is about former Royals shortstop Alcides Escobar. Alcides Escobar signed a minor league deal with the Baltimore Orioles. So he is going to try to see if he can earn his way onto their major league roster in spring training the next month or so. And we all knew that he was done here in Kansas City. And so the topic of conversation is kind of, how do we feel about Alcides Escobar and his time here in Kansas City? And I feel like, if we're power ranking the appreciation that we have given out to the core Royals players that were here when the Royals teams went to two consecutive World Series in 2014 and 2015, winning in 2015, we had this idea that a guy like Alcides Escobar was kind of bottom of the totem pole. And we treated him like that too. Whenever this team was struggling and you had the very important guys like Eric Hosmer, like Mike Moustakas, Alex Gordon, et cetera, not performing up to the way that we thought they should have performed. Instead of calling them out on their stuff, we called out Alcides Escobar, who was hitting at the bottom of the lineup. He was in the bottom third of that lineup, and he got all the flack. Oh, why isn't Alcides Escobar, for his career has never been a great hitter? He's had some years where he was great, where he had individual years where he was hitting like 290. But as a whole for his career, wasn't a great hitter. He was really good at times, but he wasn't great. But we put him under the same scrutiny as we did Eric Hosmer and guys like that. And so as you look at the conclusion to his Royals career last year, and you look at how he has presented himself throughout his entire Royals run and how we've treated him, we really haven't appreciated him the way that I think that we should have. And it's, I mean, obviously we like some of the things that he did. Obviously his defense was top notch. Should have won, should have been in consideration for many more gold gloves than he was. I had been saying since about 2012, 2013, this guy is going to be one of the best, if not the best, defensive shortstops in baseball. And it wasn't until the team was actually successful as a whole that you started to see him get that consideration. But he was one of the key pieces as far as starting the defense, the culture of defense on this team. Obviously, the first guy was Alex Gordon. Alex Gordon came in after he got switched from third baseman to left field when he went back down to the minors. He got that push, and he came in, and he was playing gold glove level left field from the very jump. But Alcides Escobar, because he wasn't the hitter that Alex Gordon was, he didn't get that same run on defense, and he wasn't really appreciated by us early on, or the national media for that. And then when you look at his all-time statistics, as far as his offensive production, it really shows how little we appreciated his time here in Kansas City. This is something that Jay Binkley got me on last year, and he surprised me with these statistics. Alcides Escobar, in the top 10 in Royals history, hitters, he's number 9. He's top 10 in doubles. He's number 10. Number 10, all-time Royals history in triples. Number 8, all-time in stolen bases. That sounds like a guy that was pretty proficient at what he did. Obviously, he certainly was never a guy that was going to win Silver Slugger at his position. He certainly was never a guy that you looked at and like, that guy's going to be the fire starter for us, even though he kind of was when he was leading off for the team during the years that they were going to World Series. But we really didn't look at him like that. Whenever we would have Esky at the top of the lineup, people are like, why is this guy in this position? And Ned Yost didn't, he couldn't explain it. There was no real statistics that you could back it up with. But it just seemed like whenever Alcides was out there leading off, this team seemed to be able to get runs. Didn't make any sense. He was hitting like in the 270s. On base percentage, just over 300. But for some reason, he was able to get on base when we needed him to. He was able to get runs when we needed him to. He was able to move up from first whenever we needed him to. He was able to score whenever we needed him to. And there's something to be said about that. I mean, obviously, the statistics aren't, as a whole, great. But Esky, we didn't appreciate him for what he was. So moving on to another story we have in Erik Skoglund. Obviously, big story. Offseason, he was suspended for 80 games due to testing positive for PEDs. Erik Skoglund had a very emotional interview over the weekend talking about the suspension. Here's Erik Skoglund from spring training.
I just wanted to let the Royals know. I was pretty beat inside, and it was just eating at me, and I just would rather tell them than, you know, appeal for another month and not be able to tell anyone and lose. And then it would just make me worse mentally, physically. And so I just wanted to get it out there with Dayton and the front office.
Did you ever, were you able to identify where it came from?
We have no idea. And that was the hardest part. Something got into my body without me knowing. It was scary. And it just kind of makes you think, you know, what could it have been? And that's the hardest part to deal with, is not knowing. Because I'm not a guy that's going to cheat the game. I didn't do anything maliciously. It's not the type of person I am. It's not my character. It's not how I was raised. So it sucks. And we couldn't find anything, and that's what's going to eat me for the rest of my career, and it's not a good feeling at all.
What's the theory? Is it like a protein shake, vitamins?
I wish I had an answer. I mean, I went to Smoothie King like twice, but I don't think... I really don't know what it could have been. If I would have known, I would have appealed it. I would have tried to fight it in any way I could. I was obsessed with the bank statements and trying to find anything that I ate that was unique or out of the ordinary. But I think the most I did was eat Chick-fil-A or Chipotle was, you know, the one of the things that was like fast food related. Other than that, I didn't change the way I ate from this year to previous years. There's no difference.
In the past years, does any of the workout stuff that you've taken, is that usually stuff you would clear through training staff here? Or?
Well, yeah, they give it to you right before the year ends. They give you all your protein, your vitamins. And this year, I was actually I took those vitamins and the probiotics and the creatine very religiously this off season. I never did that in the past, and I was doing it every day. Right when I started training, 3 weeks after the off season is when I started, and I was failed that drug test in early November, so kind of around that time. I mean, those are the only things I did differently. It was everything that the Royals gave me is what I took. It was all part of what the MLB gives the Royals give to us. And that's all I took. I'm not a guy that's, you know, with my figure, I think you kind of know.
So that's Eric Skoglund from spring training talking about his 80-game suspension for PED use. And I think a lot of people, there's some people who tend to be like, oh, well, you did the crime, do your time, whatever, you know. You should have done a better job regulating what you put in your body. I don't think a lot of people understand, though, like, how a lot of these guys test positive now. It's not, you know, let's stick a needle in your ass and you're going to get pumped full of these roids. The culture isn't like that anymore. A lot of the times when you see guys test positive, it's testing positive because you take some sort of tainted supplement. I know this is an issue in the world of MMA, where you see guys get suspended all the time because they're taking a bunch of different supplements. As he noted in that interview, he was taking creatine amongst a bunch of other supplements. I know I have taken creatine before and it ruined my stomach. I took pre-workout.
Same here.
Ruined my stomach. Same I just stopped here. Taking that stuff a year ago because it wasn't doing me right. I was feeling terrible. So I can understand that. And there's a lot of stuff that you just don't know about because a lot of this stuff isn't regulated as much by the FDA. So when they start putting things like, oh, this has this benefits, but not anything that could be backed by the FDA, you don't know what you're putting into your body. You know?
Yeah, but doesn't that fall under the responsibility of the player? I mean, it's not like they don't have resources and shouldn't be running that stuff by the trainers or whatever other resources they have to figure out whether or not they should be. I mean, if you have any question whatsoever of whether it's going to affect your performance or whether you're going to test positive for anything, use those resources to find out. That's not something as a career move that's very smart. Why would you play with fire like that?
I think the reason why they do that, though, is because, like, a lot of these guys, they're a little naive as it pertains to stuff
like
this.
But is that an excuse then?
If you're young and inexperienced, you don't have a lot of life experiences, you're going to do what young and dumb people do. And this seems like it was a mistake that someone who's young and dumb made, as opposed to someone who's, like, actively trying to cheat. And I can understand if we suspend him for, like, 20, 30 games for making a mistake. I don't think we should suspend him for 80 games, for almost half the season, for making a dumb mistake. I mean, that just doesn't make any sense to me. I mean, there are some things that are made out of pure ignorance, as opposed to things that are made because you're just a bad person and you're doing terrible things. You're trying to cheat the system. You know, guys who were getting syringes injected into them so that they can get these juices that make them better at what they do, that's completely different from someone trying to take some sort of supplement as they're doing the work to try to get into the shape that they need to be great at their profession. That's completely different to me.
Yeah, right.
So I'm not going to kill him for that.
Yeah. All right. Let's go back to this Alcides Escobar appreciation fest that you are having.
Yeah,
or we're having.
We should appreciate Alcides more. He wasn't great, but damn it, he got the job done.
Yeah, he did. He fit this town perfectly as far as being a blue collar player.
I
but
agree.
So my question to you is, up front, this question might seem pretty easy to answer, but I want you to really think about this: is does Raul Mondesi Jr. have a better career as a Royal than Alcides Escobar did?
Now, this is something because you brought this to me when that Skoglund audio was playing. And this is an interesting question because I think the easy answer is to say that it's going to be Mondesi.
The easy answer.
That's the easy answer.
But the caveat to that is thinking, is he going to be around as long as Escobar was here? Because Escobar was here, what, I think seven seasons?
Mm,
I mean, that's a pretty long time for one organization. Is he going to be around long enough to reach those same numbers that Alcides Escobar did?
And that's the tricky question. And the reason why it's really tricky is because, and it's this very pessimistic way to think about it, because you don't want to talk about potentially losing one of your superstar players. This is really going to come down to how much does Raul Mondesi value big time bucks versus value being in a good culture and being around players that he's familiar with and living in a city that he's familiar with. So it's really hard to forecast that. If I had to take a guess, I'd probably say he probably doesn't go and end up besting the numbers that Alcides Escobar does. As pessimistic as it sounds, one of the things that we know is that the Royals organization is not in the market of paying guys, you know, what other teams are going to pay them if it's like, you know, big time money, especially when they get burned by Ian Kennedy and they get burned by Alex Gordon. They keep getting burned by Alex. It got burned by Alex Gordon. So you signed two of your richest contracts in your franchise history, and neither of them have panned out the way you wanted them.
There's a difference between Raul Mondesi, I think, and Alex Gordon. I mean, you can see the clear
he's going to get more
difference
he's
as far as talent, though. Like,
yeah.
Like, we all love Alex Gordon, but he wasn't immaculately talented like Raul Mondesi is. So there's a difference.
But, like, he's probably going to command twice
what Alex
got.
He is injury prone.
I mean, but we don't know if he's going to be considered injury prone when he's ready to go get his new contract, because that's not going to be for a little while.
I hope not.
Because, I don't know the exact number, but he has maybe, what, 4 years after this year, something like that, left with the team, something like that. So I would imagine that, I mean, if they're smart, they try to sign him up long term. I'm betting on Alcides keeping the numbers where he is. I'm not betting on Mondesi taking those numbers just because it's hard for me to see if Mondesi is what we think he's going to be. It's hard for me to look at him and say, yeah, I think that guy's going to go out here and be a Royal his entire time, knowing the financial limitations that a team has running a baseball organization in Kansas City. Coming up next, the MLBPA put out a statement in regards to these contracts that are not being signed by the big-time players in Major League Baseball, and I think they're missing the point. That's coming up next. We have music and lyrics. What is this?
Yeah,
this is actual music. We get a we have a generic pool of music that we can play from, and this one actually has lyrics.
Gotta go look for it. I know this is your style, Chris. I know this.
I actually kind of like
this. You
know
why? Because we've been working together for so long. I don't forget your name. I even remember what kind of music you like, and so I play this for you.
That's because you criticize my music.
Because it's. I mean, this is not that great.
I actually like this song.
It's all right.
It's kind of a banger. Who is
that? I don't know if it's a banger. I don't know if
it's
a banger. It's a banger, Chris.
It's a banger. I'm about to look up this after the show.
This could be your new open.
It probably is. Actually, it's a good song. I'm going to see if I can talk Jillian into using this as the open for our show. She's not going to go for it.
I did this.
I like this. So we're going back to baseball talk here. Major League Baseball. The Players Association put out a statement earlier today in response to some quote-unquote inflammatory things that Rob Manfred has said in regards to how players are demanding a whole hell of a lot of money on these contracts. Now, we're hearing Bryce Harper asking for, you know, somewhere $200 million, $250 million, $300 million over I think it was like 400 at one point.
Over 10 years or something hearing. Like that.
Some crazy ass number. So Tony Clark, executive director, if I could speak English, for the MLB Players Association, put out a statement earlier today that said, and I quote, "Commissioner Manfred's latest comments and his attempts to shift blame and distract from the main issues are unconstructive and misleading at best. Players' eyes don't deceive them, nor do fans, as players report to spring training and see respected veterans and valued teammates on the sidelines. They are rightfully frustrated by a two-year attack on free agency. Players commit to compete every pitch of every at-bat and every inning of every game. Yet, we're operating in an environment in which an increasing number of clubs appear to be making little effort to improve their rosters, compete for a championship, or justify the price of a ticket. Players have made a sincere attempt to engage with clubs on the proposals to improve pace of play and enhance the game's appeal to fans. At the same time, We have presented wide-ranging ideas that value substance over seconds and ensure the best players are on the field every day. We believe these substantive changes are imperative now, not in 2022 or 2025, but in 2019. We look forward to continuing to engage with MLB on changes that address substantive issues to the benefit of fans, players, the 30 clubs, and the game of baseball as a whole, end quote. And basically what this is saying is the teams need to hurry up and pay our players what they want.
You're a bunch of whining.
Because we said so. And
it's whining.
Yeah, this is whining. This is you saying, sign us for the money that we want because we're going to pout if we don't. Like, look, I am a very pro-player guy. If the players want to go out there and get that bag, let them get that bag. I don't care if they're asking if a team is willing to pay, if the Chiefs are willing to pay Patrick Mahomes $200 million, I don't care. Pay him $200 million.
That's what he's worth.
Yeah, that is what he's worth. And if that's what he wants,
that's what the market demands.
That's what you pay him because he's that important to your team.
Yeah.
How many playoff games has Mike Trout won in his career? Mm. I don't think he's won one playoff game. I think he might have made the playoffs, what, once in his career? Maybe twice? I don't recall him winning one playoff game in his career. Mike Trout has been the best player in the American League for a long time now. No championships. No appearances in the World Series. Hasn't done a damn thing when it counts. Why? Because signing a player, one baseball player, one great player, doesn't make your team a World Series contender. The Kansas City Royals broke the system with how they built their team that went to two straight World Series and won the second one. It was very close to winning that first one. And they did it with a payroll that was under $150 million. You look at teams like the Boston Red Sox. And, yeah, the Boston Red Sox spent money to get some guys. They spent $210 million to get David Price. But you know who were the key players to that team? The three Bs. Xander Bogaerts, Jackie Bradley Jr., and Mookie Betts. Those are the three guys that were the keys to them winning a World Series. Kansas City Royals won a World Series, and they went to two with guys who still had a ton of arbitration years on their contracts, or still had a few on their contracts. They were still playing on their very first baseball contract. And they went to two World Series and won one. And so teams are looking at it now and they're like, hey, why do we need to go out here and spend $300 million on a guy that's going to hit 40 home runs and we're watching the playoffs when it gets to October? Why are we going to do that? Why are we going to hamstring ourselves? Why are we going to do what the Dodgers do, which is, you know, make the playoffs every year but get disappointed because you can't go out there and beat another team because you spent too much money on guys like Matt Kemp. Spent too much money on guys that aren't really helping your team win championships. This is why teams are taking the Kansas City Royals approach. The Tampa Bay Rays really kind of started this approach, but they did it really cheap. I think when they went to the World Series in I think it was 2008, they had a payroll that was like, I think it was like sub 40 million. It was crazy low. It was shockingly low. And they got to a World Series because they had a bunch of guys who were playing on rookie contracts. The Kansas City Royals got to a World Series, and they won the World Series with, I think, in 2015, I think their payroll was $143 million. Maybe it increased more when they added Johnny Cueto and Ben Zobrist, but it was like $143 at the beginning of the year. It was a low-ass payroll, and they went to a World Series, and they won. You don't need to break the bank to get the right players to win a championship. So I understand these players want to go get that bag, for sure. But at the same time, these teams got to be smart about how they spend their money.
And I'm right there with you as far as, look, I'm a big advocate for players going out there and getting their money.
Mm-hmm.
But at one, it's one of those things, and this sounds like nonsense, especially being in the business that we are.
Especially coming from you.
Right. Especially coming from me. I see what you did there. But as far as, you know, when is enough enough, right? When do they start to reel in these contracts? And for me, especially in baseball, so there's two major things for me that are happening in baseball that have dictated these new contracts and the way they're being handled. One is GMs are getting younger, right? Two is the introduction of analytics to baseball.
Yep.
Right? The analytics of baseball now, it's no longer about the name. It's about the numbers that you can produce and putting a monetary value to the numbers that you are able to produce. And it's a proven fact within the analytics of the game that these big contracts and what they're paying for the the output that you're getting are just, it's just stupid business. And just because you have the money to spend doesn't mean you need to go out there and spend it. And with these new GMs having a different mindset, a younger, that younger generation of general manager coming up and using these analytics as a secondary tool, it is completely changing the way baseball contracts are being handled. And quite honestly, I'm okay with it because there's no reason someone should be signing a 10-year, $500 million contract. That's just absurd.
Yeah, because there's no player in baseball that is that valuable.
No, absolutely not.
Even if you have a great starting pitcher, like Zach Greinke. Zach Greinke was like the perfect example of why you shouldn't be paying a guy $20 to $30 million to start every five games. Like, he was a prime example of it because he had a 2.12 ERA. And he won like 16 games that year because the Royals offense couldn't score any runs. Like, a starting pitcher ain't as valuable as we think it is, you know?
See Cleveland Indians.
Yeah, see Cleveland Indians. You know, a team like that. Or, you know, see the Yankees or see the Dodgers. See all these teams that are deciding, hey, we're going to go pay a pitcher or, you know, pay any starting position player out there. Let's go out there and let's get them, you know, $20 million. And then, guys like that a lot of times will get hurt because they get older and they get those contracts when they're in their late 20s, early 30s, and so they're more injury prone. But also, on top of that, you also have to deal with the fact that for all that money there, they have to be superstars in order to be able to live up to the amount of money they're making. And most of those guys aren't going to do that. So, it's to me, I understand the players want to get their money, but at the same time, we also got to understand that These players a lot of times aren't going to live up to those contracts as far as their value to the team.
Well, just baseball by nature is a different type of sport where one player just can't have the same impact in an entire series that, say, in the NBA can. Though, you know, LeBron James is LeBron James for a reason. You can pay him a ridiculously absurd amount of money, but he can live up to that contract because of his impact on the game.
Yeah,
it's just so hard to do that in baseball.
Yeah, I mean, having a great quarterback can turn you from a team that is not in the playoffs to being a Super Bowl contender. You know, like the Chiefs went from being a team that can make the playoffs but was never at any chance of winning a Super Bowl to being a team that's going to be a perennial Super Bowl contender as long as Mahomes is healthy. And then you look at a team like, you look at the NBA. I mean, teams, you saw the, you know, Chris Bosh, LeBron James joined the Heat. Four straight NBA finals, two championships. They went from a team that was a four seed and far away from winning a championship to actually being there because they got a couple of guys that were worth the money that they were paid.
Or hell, LeBron James taking Cleveland when he first went to Cleveland to the NBA Finals with just himself, basically.
Like,
you can do that in basketball. You can't do that in baseball.
You just can't. There's no one player. The best players in baseball have like an eight war. Well, an eight war versus, let's say, you know, you have a guy that's kind of good, but not a superstar. Maybe he has like a 2 or 3 war. That's only five games difference, six games difference, you know?
Think about NFL, Aaron Rodgers.
Aaron Rodgers is not on the team. They're terrible.
Exactly. And he basically won that Super Bowl himself.
No, they had a good defense.
I mean, they had a good defense.
They had a great defense. They had a legit team,
but he carried that team.
Yeah, his play did.
I mean, his impact on that game and that team was well worth his contract. We'll just say that.
Coming up next, me and Julio are going to have a debate about his favorite college basketball team, the Kansas Jayhawks. There's something I kind of feel like that if I'm Bill Self, I'm kind of rooting for, and I'll tell you what that is next. Back in here on Bink at Night, 610 Sports Radio, 610sports.com, and the radio.com app. Listen to us on there. I'm Chris Unocero, and I'm joined by Julio Sanchez. We are two-thirds of the show, Jillian Carroll and Unocero. You can hear us on Thursdays at 8 p.m. here on 610 Sports Radio. You can also hear us on the podcast page, radio.com app, or on 610sports.com. Just look for Jillian Carroll featuring Unocero. It's got a picture of Jillian, and I'm just somewhere in the back, somewhere invisible.
Not there. You're just not there.
No, I was like in a hiding. I was like ducked underneath. I think she took that picture at Sporting, and I'm like ducked under the seat somewhere.
Keep telling yourself that.
You can hear us at 8 p.m. on Thursdays, and you can also follow me on Twitter @CeroTo60. That is @CeroTo 6-0. I probably have the lowest number of follows for someone who's actually verified on Twitter. I think I should have that world record. I don't think anybody has. I think I've got like 649.
I still don't know how that even happened.
The Royals won the World Series, and then Twitter at verified just followed everybody here from 610 except for CDOT. It was crazy. I couldn't believe it. But yeah, everybody, they follow everybody. Me, even though I'm a part timer here, they followed me, but they didn't follow CDOT. But CDOT's got his check mark.
Really proud, aren't you?
I was confused. I was like, why would you follow me? Like, I'm barely on. And I do more producing of Royals games than I do talking about the Royals. I don't know why you would follow me. So I've had this little theory about the Kansas Jayhawks men's basketball team. Bill Self currently has them right now third in the Big 12. They are just a half game out of first place. Number one is the Kansas State Wildcats. Just so you know, this is the home of the Kansas State Wildcats. Here on 610 Sports Radio. And if you stay tuned after this show, you'll hear their pregame coverage starting at 7 o'clock as they get you ready to hear their next game, which is against West Virginia.
It's a big game for them.
It's a very big game. West Virginia is not very good.
Neither are they, apparently.
I watched. No. Wait, you're talking about, you know, Kansas State's
good.
These
couple injuries they just got.
They'll be fine. They're playing Westford. Did you see what KU did?
Yeah.
I know you saw what KU did to them.
They destroyed them.
They destroyed them.
That was a little bit of payback, too.
I turned the game on. It was like 43-16 or 18 at the half. I thought that was a mistake. I was like, is that a typo? This is ridiculous. Especially for this KU team. So I've been thinking about this. What is it? KU at like, what, 14 straight Big 12 titles? 14 straight. They have kind of lost count now. I was there when they claimed the 11th at Allen Fieldhouse. I was there in attendance, and they did this fancy little ceremony. They turned the lights out. I thought they lost power for a second, and it was like a nice little fancy. They had some former players there, and they did everything for this. This was nice. I think they played like TCU, so this wasn't like a real big game as far as competition goes, but. You know, it's a nice little thing they did. They really care about these conference titles. And I know Bill Self.
Say that so condescendingly.
What do you mean? How was it condescending? It
just sounded condescending.
I mean, it was just like they really care about these things, which I understand. Like, when you have a streak like this, it matters to you. But this creates a lot of undue stress and pressure on Bill Self, more so than it creates on any other coach. John Calipari does not have a streak like this. Coach Krzyzewski, he does not have a streak like this. Tom Izzo does not have a streak like this. But Bill Self does. And if I were Bill Self, and I'm looking at the narrative in February, in January, in early March, every single year, the narrative is, are KU going to win the Big 12 Conference? Look at all these years that they've won it consecutively. They have to win. And it's creating so much undue stress and pressure. If I were Bill Self, maybe not openly, if it would be secretly, it would be deep down in the depths of my heart, I would be rooting against winning the Big 12 title this year. If I were him, I would have been rooting against it last year. I'd be like, okay, Texas Tech, please beat us so we can get this monkey off our back and we don't have to keep trying to defend this damn consecutive title every single year. I would not want to have to defend this thing every single year. You know how hard it is for Bill Self to have to defend this title every year?
It's just a conference title.
Bill Self, in the deep depths of his heart, should want to lose the Big 12 regular season title this year. That's a hot take. I told you at the beginning of the show, hottest takes in radio in Kansas City. If I were Bill Self, I'd want to lose this.
This is just pure
secretly,
nonsense.
Secretly. How is it nonsense?
Pure nonsense.
You guys celebrate the conference. I'm not a KU fan. I used to be a KU fan when I was younger, but I don't really watch college basketball that much anymore. Aside from the big games. I watched the tournament. I watched the big conference
tournament. How did you end up on
that
side of the glass? Can you answer that for me?
I lucked into it. I blackmailed our previous program director. And I just lucked into it. But I...
The old reach around. I know what it was.
What? No, I didn't do that. I don't know what you're talking about. Okay. But... when I was looking at the beginning of this streak, it was impressive. It's hard to win, especially if you look at the talent that Bill Self has had to play against. He had to play against Kevin Durant. He had to coach against Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant is he's probably the second best player in the NBA. That guy was legit too at Kansas. At Texas, he was really legit. He was really legit. He was a great player. He had a real bona fide. He should have been playing in the NBA that 1 year, but because of the one and done rule, he had to go play in college for a year. He's coached against some really good talent. Michael Beasley, he had to coach against that guy. Michael Beasley, really damn good player. One of the best players I've ever seen play college basketball. Really talented. The fact that he has had, he's had so many great years winning these conference titles. And now it kind of provides to be more of a burden than it does a point of success.
It is not.
Yeah, it does.
I can see where you're coming from, but isn't
you tell me LeGerald Vick doesn't feel pressure about having to defend this long-standing conference title?
No, he's more stressed about having to deal with someone like LeGerald Vick than necessarily the streak. Especially the way he talks about it, does he care about it? Yes, absolutely. I think that would be silly to say that he doesn't care about it.
Yeah, he does care about it.
But I don't think he's going to be heartbroken if it were to end. But my thing is, isn't this the type of stress that you want, right? This is why you sign up for a gig like this.
Not for a conference title. You want the stress to win the NCAA title.
Not a single conference title, but a streak like this. This is a historical run. It is a historical run. This is why sign up to take a job like Kansas, is to put yourself in a position to do stuff like this. You know, this is what, if you're doing your job right, this is what should come with this territory. And this is called job security, if you ask me.
Well, it's not like if he loses this year. Like, I'll say this. There are some fans that will probably call for his head, but I don't think he's going to lose his job if he loses this year.
This is a first world problem, okay? It may not be.
You're 100% right. This is first world problems.
This is a first world problem.
I don't know how I'm going to make my yacht payment. But, like, sometimes that's an important problem if you're one of the rich. That's a problem. Like, if I were a Kansas fan, secretly I'd be like, okay, we've won enough of these damn conference titles. I know that, you know, for some, if you're a Mizzou fan, if you're a Kansas State fan, you're like, oh, why would you not want to win a conference title? Like, look, when you have enough of something, you have enough of something.
Never have enough of that.
And winning a 15th one
Where's your competitive fire? Get out of here.
Win the actual tournament in late March. That actually is the one that people care about. Like, yeah, it's nice that you go out and win your conference title, regular season conference title every single year. But at the end of the day, it doesn't really matter per se if you lose in the first or second round of the tournament. I mean, at the end of the day, fans are still going to be disappointed. You're going to be disappointed. Your players are going to be disappointed. Yeah, it's nice that you won that conference title during the regular season. But at the end of the day, it's a lot nicer to win the title that actually matters, which is the one that they play at the beginning of April. That's the one you want to win.
I won't disagree with you.
So that's the reason why if I were him, I'd like, let's get rid of this undue stress. Hey, Bruce Weber, we like you. Hey, this is yours. You take it. This is yours. You go out and do it. And we'll focus on trying to win the one that actually matters when the big dance comes here. Coming up next, I got a question about our resident Major League Soccer team, Sporting Kansas City. There are a lot of questions going on, but I've got one just about the team as a whole that I feel like I really need answered. We'll get to that next. That's right, you're the voice lady. February 24th, I believe at 2:30 p.m., you can hear Sweet Sounds, Ryan LaFever, Rex Huddler. Rex Huddler is a TV. Probably hear some Steve Fizziok, maybe some Steve Stewart.
Some Denny Matthews?
It might be some Denny. I don't think Denny does spring training. But you'll hear the guys for the Royals. No, he does a little bit of spring training, actually. That's not right. He does a little. He doesn't do very much. It's usually like the weekend game. But you can hear those guys starting this Sunday, 2:30 p.m. on 610 Sports Radio as the Royals begin their spring training campaign. I believe that's against the Oakland Athletics as they get ready for the 2018. Yeah, the 2019 season.
I should probably double check that.
No, it's fine.
We'll just roll with it.
We talked about it on the show on Julian Carroll and Uno Cero on Thursday, so I think I'm pretty sure it's that. Yeah. I don't know where you were. I don't know where you were for that.
Not paying attention.
So Sporting Kansas City is gearing up for a very big game in the CONCACAF tournament. They start play on Thursday. I think it's at 7 p.m. against the Mexican club Toluca. And their season's about to start here real soon. very close here to the beginning of the 2019 campaign for Sporting Kansas City. And so it brings the question, just how good is Sporting Kansas City compared to what they were a year ago? Because last year, and I see you shaking your head, Julio. Last year, obviously, they finished with the number one seed in the Western Conference. They looked like a team that was unstoppable or close to unstoppable, dramatically improving their scoring from what it was in 2017. And their defense was just a little bit worse than what they were, but they were still a really good team defensively. So it brings into question, is this team really better than they were last year? This year than they were last year? Because I think, if it's from my perspective, I kind of feel like they might be a little worse. I mean, I know that a lot of people,
no question,
a lot of people feel some type of way about Fontas, and they think that he might be a really good replacement for Ike Opara, who got traded to Minnesota United. And supposedly he does not like turf, so I don't know how that relationship is going to work. But they paid $900,000; it could be $1 million based on different incentives to get him over to get him up north, and. I mean, I look at the rest of this roster. This roster looks really good. And I think they're going to be a playoff team for sure. But
defensively, yes.
Yeah. But the question is,
offensively,
what are they going to do offensively? Because what have they done with their striker? Well, you know, they've
not a damn thing. That's what they
nothing. Did. They not as a matter of fact, thing. As a matter of fact, they traded away probably their best striker in Diego Rubio to Colorado for some money. And then they let, I mean, Kyrie Shelton wasn't, I didn't think he was very good, but he just walked away. And so now he's playing with some team in Bundesliga too.
Yeah, I'm fine.
You know, and I was fine with that. But like, now they're trusting Christian Namath, who's what is he, like 30, 31, something like that?
He's getting up there.
He's certainly not a guy that should be a starting striker for your team if you're like actually competing, but it looks like he's going to get that role. I know that they were linked earlier this week with a Scottish player. I think his name's Stephen Naismith. Who's a Scottish player for Norwich City, and who's in the Championship League over in England right now? He's on loan to some team in the Scottish Premiership, like Heart of something. It was like a weird name, but supposedly he's gonna be pretty good. But like he's supposedly not gonna come until the summer because his contract ends during the summer, so he would come on a free transfer. But you still have March through June to mess around with that because I don't think the transfer market opens until July. So you're looking at many months of not having that guy, and then he's got to get acclimated to the team. And Espinoza's gotten a year older. Beasler's gotten a year older. Graham Zusi's gotten a year older. Elie's still good. And, you know, obviously we know that Felipe Gutierrez is still really good. But now you've got Johnny Russell, who's inching closer to 30 because he's like 28 now. I mean, I look at this team and there are a lot of question marks about whether they're going to do what they did last year. Because last year, there was a point where it looked like they were going to do what they did in 2017, which was start really well and then fall off. And then they staved off that regression and they were able to get back to the winning that they were doing and they were able to secure that one seed. But then they had a really disappointing game at home, Children's Mercy Park, against the Portland.
A no-show. It was basically a no-show.
Pretty much a no-show. Like, pretty much, Jurso came off the bench, and he provided some spark. And Shallowy was really good in that first half, but then he got hurt in the second half, and it was over. Literally, it was just a two-man game for Sporting. And so it brings into question, are they really going to be as good as they were last year? And I look at it, and I'm like, I'm not confident at it right now.
Right now, to me, they are a fringe playoff team, unfortunately.
Yeah, fringe. I mean, I don't think they're fringe. I think they're going to make the playoff. I just don't know how far they're going to go when they get there. Because this team could very well be playing in the knockout stage. They could be playing in that first round, and they could get knocked out in that first round.
Let's hope they do well. I'm not being as optimistic as I probably should be.
You probably should be a little bit more, but like I don't think this team is for sure the best team in the Western Conference.
The offseason, I've not been very kind to them this offseason.
Special thanks to Julio Sanchez for doing all the real work. Special thanks to you, the listener, for taking time out of your Monday night to be listening to me and my ramblings. I am Christian Ocero. Follow me on Twitter at Cero260. That is at CEROTO60. I am out.
You're here with big news.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you.
I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.